You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live. Next, featuring intimate and in-depth interviews with Black Hollywood's next edition of stars and influencers. Black Hollywood Live. Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live, next.
What up, what up, what up?
Hey.
You hear this?
Hey.
We started 2015 a little ratchet. Just kidding. We're not talking about that cocoa. We're talking about this chocolate cocoa you see on our skin, honey. You hear me?
With that cocoa.
Exactly. Welcome to another edition of Black Hollywood Live.
Yes.
Next, where we talk to all the up-and-coming artists, musicians, actors in this industry, the people that you need to know because they are next. You hear me? So, I am your host, Megan Thomas, and this lovely piece of cocoa chocolate next to me is...
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back. I'm Cortez G. West. Welcome back. 2015. I feel good.
Yeah. Mm. And today, as always, we always have a great guest. So for 2015, we're starting with that fire.
Well, you heard that right.
Start with that fire.
Have a great guest. Remember that.
Yes.
By the way.
This week, we have a fine, wonderfully talented, beautiful
man. I'm glad you said fine and not me.
That you. Yes.
Hey, keep that going. Hey.
Mind you, you know who this guy is. You've seen him either in a music video, in a play, on a TV show, in a movie, on your Netflix, or you've seen him in your dreams. Either way, you've seen
Come on, dreams.
This man. Give it up for Christian Keys.
Bump that up.
Yes, hey. Christian Keys is in the building.
Hey, I'm in love with the
Christian
Keys.
No, with the Christian Keys. What's up, Christian?
Yes, and Christian got a new book out. It's called Ladies Night, and it's this handsome man who's on the front of it.
Thank you very much.
Got your chest out. You don't get a chest cold.
Coco.
So we're going to talk about your book in a minute, but at first we want to do a little
icebreaker. Yeah,
yeah, have a little fun.
Why not? Let's go.
Yeah, so it's just kind of to get us out, let you guys know about this book, man. I actually got a chance to read the book. Not fully yet. I was about to lie.
I started
to read it when I realized that he was now he's now an author. So I was like, let me read this, man. Yeah. Let me read this. So especially when I heard the description about it. So now I want to play a game. We're gonna play a little short little game. It's called Ladies Night. Are we about to fight?
Oh.
So basically, we're gonna give you a couple of scenarios.
Okay.
Within those scenarios, you're gonna say you're gonna let us know whether it's a ladies' night or are we about to fight.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right.
Let's start with the first one, if I can find it. All right. Here we go. So you're on a date. Leaving a restaurant, walking out the restaurant.
Right, walking out.
That was a girl checking you out, you know.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, you get ready to get in the car. You open the door for your lady, and another lady walk up to your lady that was with you and punch her in the face. What kind of night that is?
Oh, man, that's an ICU night. I can't hit her back. So, let me see. Maybe I can shove Bay in the car, and then I don't know, if I got a little pepper spray or a taser or something, I'd tase the other chick. No, I'm kidding. I can't really, you know, I can try to separate them, but that's how you end up getting punched in a fight. But I can't, you know, get the other chick back.
Exactly.
That's not the business.
All right, so we're going to call that a what?
Fight night.
In between.
I got to get light night. I got to get out of the way. We got to go.
Like fight night. All right, so this is your first time doing a solo strip.
Yeah.
Striptease.
Okay.
For the ladies. And you're doing your striptease, and you look up at the DJ. Fine, beautiful female DJ. Y'all make eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
You smile, she smiles. What kind of night that is?
Date night.
That's ladies' night.
She probably gonna get the kind of the version of the striptease that they don't get in the show, like in the actual performance. So she probably get like the real deal.
So that's a little clip in the book, ladies. Yeah. Go ahead and find that out in Ladies' Night, written by Christian Keys. All right, so one more. Driving down the 405. I'm sorry, 405. This is what they're saying.
405.
Exactly. Right. You're in the car with your girl, and you pass Sunset. She wanted you to get off on Sunset Avenue. What is it? Sunset Avenue, right?
Sunset Boulevard.
So, Boulevard.
Yes.
You're passing. And she says, why didn't you get off on Sunset? And you say, because I know a better way, and I'm driving. But it's her car. So next thing you know, she hits you with a Holyfield right hook to your left, right side of your face.
What? How about that?
While I'm driving?
Why are you driving?
Oh, first
is that
of
a
all,
ladies' night? Oh, we about to fight.
That's a we can't come back night. We can't come back from that night. No. You don't get to put your paws on that. I got to be responsible for not hitting you back. But you don't, if a woman ever hits me, we're done for life. Like, delete my number. I don't care if you're on fire in front of me. I'm not throwing water on you. If a woman ever hits me, we can't date no more.
That's a Rihanna.
Not even thinks about it.
That's a Rihanna and Chris moment right there.
Never. Yeah, notgonnahappen.com. I'm not going to hit you back, but I will politely pull over. If it's her car, I'll pull over and I'll get out.
Get out. Exactly.
Uber your way home, honey. Yeah. There's Uber and Lyft for that.
Yeah. So last one, man. You're at your new job, and you got a coworker, female coworker. Fine. Y'all hit it off, you know, going on a couple of dates, you know, hit it off, may, you know, kiss a little bit or whatever.
Well.
But she starts to get a little uncomfortable and starts to realize this. She don't want to miss business with pleasure. So, what is that, a ladies' night, or are we about to fight?
You know what? A ladies' night. I think at that point, if she stated that, we could keep it clean, you know, the rest of the night, just kind of chill and enjoy the rest of the night, and then, you know, kind of taper it off from there and not, because it is better sometimes not to mix, unless you guys both can handle it. I've had both sides. I've dated somebody I was touring with, badidea.com, very bad idea. And then, you know, I've had it work out very well and end up, you know, falling in love with the chick. This was some years ago, but... Yeah, I'd be like, you know what? Okay, I respect that. Let's, you know, let's red box it, some red wine and chill, and then, you know, tomorrow we'd get back to work.
Right. So, the character in the book, Ladies Night, kind of had that problem too, right?
Amp's got a lot of problems. But you know what? A lot of, and honestly, everybody asks me, this is all fictional. There's probably 3 or 4% of that book that is, that's true. The robbery, I got robbed third shift at 7-Eleven when I was working there by a dude with a machete.
What?
Yeah, I tried to give him everything in the store.
I would too.
All that is verbatim. I was like, bro, this money in the other cash register. You want that money?
You want that too?
Yeah, like, want to get you a bag to put all your new money in? Right. You look like you smoke. Can I get you a couple cartons of of nicotine or whatever? Newports? Right. Literally, I try to give him everything because I was like, "Look, bro, let me get you out of here. I'm not trying to. I'm not dying for $7 or whatever I was making at the time."
Right.
So yeah,
nice.
Let me have you move that mic a little closer so we can hear you real well.
There it is.
Yes. I'm so excited about this book. Actually, I mean, of course, the title and the cover.
Thank you.
With your abs on it. But no, one thing that I wondered, of course, a lot of people probably wonder this. You know, Amp in the story turns to exotic dancing. Are you an exotic dancer? Have you been one in the past?
I did it. I did an amateur night once on a dare. My girlfriend dared me because her and her girls was gonna go out
she put you on display.
Yeah, she was like, we're going to the strip club, whatever. Like, okay, y'all have fun. She challenged me. She was like, you would never do that, would you? I was like, I'd probably go do amateur night. You know, make a little money. Come on.
Right.
She's like, nah, you too square for that. I was like, please. So I went and did it. I made about $700 in 30 minutes.
What? Are you serious?
I cleaned up. Matter of fact, they was calling my house for 2 months. Like, is Dr. Feelgood there?
Dr. Feelgood.
That was your name.
Dr. Feelgood.
Dr. Feelgood.
Oh, man.
So that's the other story in there, that my amateur night was true, and then the gas station robbery was true. Everything else is just, you know, something I wanted to do, a really cool urban spin on the Magic Mike, because so many... you know, ebony women, Latino women, everybody was like, yo, it's not enough chocolate in Magic Mike. And I was like, bing!
There you go.
I can write that.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we're going to get into some questions about you.
Let's.
About your life. So just like Amp in the book, you grew up in Flint, Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you also, it was a little bit rough. You grew up in the foster care system. Tell us about that. How was that growing up? How does that affect you now?
If anything, I'm better for it now. I'm appreciative. I bless my food because I've been homeless. You know, I was in 12, 13, 14 different foster homes, 3 group homes, a couple detention centers. I bounced around a lot. So every 6 or 9 months, I was in a different home. You know, I went to like 5 or 6 middle schools, 5 or 6 high schools. 6 or 7 high schools.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like every 6 months, I was, okay, well, you're going to go to this school district and you'll be in this foster home. And it was crazy. Most of the parents were African American. Occasionally, I end up with a white family like twice, I think, out of the 13 or 14. But it built me to be the man I am today. I'm grateful for it. I wouldn't change a thing. It made me a better parent because I have a son.
Grayson Jr.
Yeah, that's my dude right there.
How old is he now?
He just turned 12 on the 23rd.
Oh my goodness! Oh, wow.
So yeah, he cleaned up too. By the way, because he gave me two lists. He texted me, was like, "This is my birthday list, Dad, and for Christmas." I'm like, goodness.
Right. Gosh, man. That's how you got to do it, though.
Yeah.
So, Flint is probably one of the tougher neighborhoods in the country, in the Midwest. I remember watching something with what Michael Moore, he was talking about Flint, Michigan, and all the stuff that was going on, and I was like, I had no idea Flint was like that.
Whoa. And it's heartbreaking to see the city from where it was to where it is now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you hope that it's going to come back. Like Detroit. Like, Detroit is really fighting to come back, but you don't want to see them fall off and just, you know, have the state and the government just give up on them and then it just be the wild, wild west out there, because that's what it's shaping up to be. It's not, you know, the people are beautiful. They're hardworking, blue-collar people. But it's heartbreaking to go through the city and see what it is. You can buy a house now for $5,000, $6,000, $7,000.
Wow. What was probably the most craziest thing that you encountered when you were in Flint?
Getting shot at 4 or 5 times?
I see. What? Did you ever, like, did it, you ever get shot?
No, I don't. Oh, they put five through the front window when I was washing dishes. They shot at us, not at us, but they shot the club up when we were walking out. Messed up my short set when I dove in the grass. The same night, so we. Oh, yeah, I was killing them. I was killing them. Let me tell it. Got around the corner to where we had parked. They had stole my car.
What?
So I was 0 for 2 that night, and I didn't get no numbers. I was 0 for 3.
Flint, so, Michigan.
Yeah, Flint is something else, man. Like I said, I love it because the texture of the people, the tone of the people, it's just appreciative blue-collar people, but the opportunity is there. The finances aren't there. The it's a lot, you know. I just hope we bring it back somehow. I hope so.
Yeah. Well, being in Flint, Michigan, did that bring about acting and singing? And-
no, it just did more so about shaping me. As a person, I really didn't know I wanted to do it any of that. I started modeling probably like around 98, and then
and you were old then.
I'm not saying. So yeah, Black Hollywood Live.
I'm trying, guys.
Black,
I'm trying.
They can Google it anyway.
I don't know, right? See, come on, man.
If you really want to know, Google. I'm 39.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Black don't crack, honey. Not a bit.
Give me some.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple V-necks that say black don't crack.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw that.
And I got the hoodie.
I got to get one of those, man.
So I got you. I'll hook you up with Deborah. She's, you know. But, man, it's Flint shaped me as a man. But when I started modeling, you know, I was like, okay, cool. I can hustle on the weekend, you know, get this fashion show or this photo shoot over here, pick up 100, 200 extra. And then I messed around and got an audition for a gospel play, All Men Can't Be Dogs, in 2002, December 2002. And I booked it, and I was like, oh, Lord.
First acting
gig. I don't know how to act.
Okay.
Yeah. I hadn't done a commercial, nothing. Jesus, I ain't had time to grab my shoes or nothing, Jesus.
I had to rain for my life.
Right.
So, and then I ran and I went to Barnes & Noble's, University of Barnes & Noble's, and read every book on acting I could. I jumped in classes immediately there in Michigan. And then when I moved out here in 06, I jumped in every class I could take. Auditioning classes, improv classes, acting classes, technique, scene study. I'm still in class.
Right.
Okay, so when did songwriting come? When did music come? Music probably has already been there for you.
It had. Okay. 12. I wrote my first song at 12. I fell in love with music at 9. Stevie Wonder's Overjoyed. I played that thing until the record wouldn't play no more. Records, these little plastic things.
Yes.
And you put the little S-shaped disc in the middle so it stays on the record player.
Right.
Google it, y'all.
Because I only remember the one with the needle. That's what you're talking about.
No, the little holder, the thing you put right in the middle of the record.
Right.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just a needle, right? I thought it was just like a little
cord. No. That's what goes on it.
Okay.
When it turns.
It's like a circle. And then it's like a little S-shaped thing in there. Mm-hmm. And it holds the record perfectly on the center of the thing.
Showing your age, girl.
Oh. No, I just love music, honey.
So you said you wrote your first song at 12?
Yeah.
Do you remember the words?
Yeah, actually, I was in class and the whole song came.
Okay, come on.
And I was...
I'm background. Come on. That's true talent. See, come on. Not, you don't have to sing it the same.
Remember, keep in mind, I was 12, so this is very basic.
Okay.
And this is a couple decades ago.
And you remember the words.
Yes, the song was... it was called Lately, and it goes... lately I've been thinking about my old love.
lover. Lately I've been wondering if she still cares. Lately I've been thinking about my old lover. Lately I've been wondering if that love was still there. Did it go anywhere?
12 years old.
Okay, wait a minute. What? That was amazing. Yeah. But what old lover was you having at 12?
I know, right? Come on, bro. Coco.
What was you dating at
12? Coco. Baking soda.
No, I think what it was that I had fallen in love with what was real music at the time. Stevie and then Michael came out and everybody else. And then I was like, whoa, what is this? So I think I incorporated some of the things, some of their stories into... You know what I was wanting to write about. Now, mm-hmm. You know, at 12, you know, you start. I had a girlfriend or two. I had a crush or two, third, fourth, fifth grade. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh man, and now I'm reminiscing about maybe an old crush, not right. An old lover.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But you know, it's not bad for a 12-year-old song. Right.
That's not. Bad. That's very mature.
What are some of the people that people say that your tone is like? Because you're giving me Eric Benet. You're giving me a little bit of.
And that's a heck of a compliment because Eric's a beast. Yeah. Let me see. A little bit of. I've heard Eric before. I've heard some Baby Faces stuff. When I play up in the falsetto stuff, I hear some of the Maxwell comparisons. He's a monster. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, any of them, man, you know, you'll hear some Prince in there sometimes, or you'll hear some... some. Oh, yeah. When we toured with Chief of the Keeper, I got to sing Adore every night.
Yes.
That was amazing. So you might hear some Anthony Hamilton, some gravelly, soulful stuff in there, depending on if I'm singing something bluesy. It just depends. I just love good music. I everything, rock, hip hop, R&B, soul, old school, you name it.
Country.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm working on trying to get into it.
Okay.
I'm working on trying to get into that.
Okay.
It's all about stories for country songs.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So you've been in more than 40 stage plays, 1,200 theatrical shows. You've done plays, especially with Tyler Perry.
A bunch.
A lot of people. I think I saw you the first time in a Tyler Perry play back in the day.
Probably.
Like way back in the day. I was like, who is he? He's fine. yes. And what are some of the things that you learned just being around Tyler Perry and with his work ethic? Because we got a few people on this in the same seat that I've worked with Tyler.
Well, I want to say this. I do remember I read that he said that you were one of the most consistent male actors that he's ever worked with.
And that's
coming from Tyler Perry.
Yeah, that's a heck of a compliment coming from him. Just basically that consistency, certain professionalism things, just. How to improv, you know, somebody's cell phone would ring during the middle of the play, and he'd be like, hold on, Sonny. And go straight into, you know, Madea be on somebody's head. Like, you really just gonna sit there and let it, well, go ahead and answer it now. No, see who it is. Give me the phone. And so Madea would be talking to whoever is calling this person in the middle of the show. When Madea gets done, you had to be ready to jump right back and know what her line was and yours. So it taught you on the spur of the moment how to think on your feet and just being around all those amazing people, David and Tamla Mann, LeVan Davis, Cassie Davis, just so many, Tamar Braxton. Mm-hmm. She toured with us, and she had a smaller part. I didn't know that woman could sing like that. She could sing her face off and then back on again. And she didn't sing in the show. So I was driving up the street and All the Way Home was on the radio. And I was the new hit by Tamar Braxton. I was like, what?
Yeah, that song is dope.
Right.
So, I got to work with so many people on their way up and already established, and you know, Cheryl Pepsi Riley, just so many amazing people, and it was just a treat. I felt like it was Christmas every day.
That's good.
So, in addition to all of these plays, you've also written screenplays as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites, which is Note to Self, you can catch Netflix because it's on there, and it's featuring LaToya Luckett. How different was it to be acting in a movie that you actually wrote?
It was amazing to see LaToya Luckett, Eva Pickford, Brian McKnight, these people, you know, Braylee Evans, Jason Weaver, to see them come and bring it to life. Miss Valerie Pettiford, Richard T. Jones, you know, actors that stay working every other movie, you know, consistently, and have absurd resumes, and to see them take your work seriously and then breathe these words to life, it was amazing. It felt amazing, kind of sells it short, but it felt incredible just to sit there and be a part of it and then help cast those people in it, you know, because I had just toured with Brian, and I told him I had a role for him, and he was like, yeah. not that he was being funny. He just, people tell him stuff like that all the time. Right. So for us to finally, you know, when I called him, I said, hey, we got the budget, this, that, and the other. Are you available to shoot? He's like, oh, you're actually going to do this. I said, yes. Do you want the part? He said, yes. So, you know, it was great to have that kind of relationship with amazing icons like that. So it was just a dream come true. And it made me really want to, you know, take the other 12 scripts I have and other 10 shows, TV shows that I've written, and just really push to get those done.
Right. So, I mean, you have a billion talents, but one thing that I love is your singing. So I went to do a little research, and I found one of your videos.
I already know what's coming.
Classic.
Which one do you think
classic.
It is?
Classic.
Something about cooking dinner naked.
Yes.
They just got me in the barbershop.
Look at the eyes. Look at the eyes. Catch those eyes, man.
You know what I want you to do.
Do you ever look at yourself sometimes and say, man, that was corny? Do you ever do that sometimes?
No, I loved it.
Oh,
I
man.
I was at Applebee's when I wrote this. I mean it. It was
the 20 for 20?
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I want to write a blues song, but it's got to be something I would say. Oh, man.
Okay, so in this video, it looks like the girl's naked and you're naked too when you're laying down.
Eventually.
Are you really naked?
I had a sock on the equipment.
Are you serious?
But that was it.
And was she naked except for the apron?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I mean, but how does that work out, bro?
Remember too, in the video, she's married. That's my wife.
That's what I was gonna ask.
And the marriage bed is under file.
There you go. You better preach that. Because I was gonna ask you. I said I noticed you had on a wedding band. By the way, it was on your right hand.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to get reach around the door. I couldn't be like this though.
That would
have been weird. Like,
Thriller.
Is he a cat?
Thriller.
But that was the message we wanted to convey. That yes, this is sexy. Yes, this is, you know, sexual in nature, but this is also a man coming home to his wife, right. And that's the story that we wanted to convey. Tridescent Studio shot that for me, and they did an amazing job.
The lighting was great.
Yes.
Yeah, they did that.
You're like Tridescent Studio's like go-to guy for everything.
I love them. They've been a huge blessing to me. I worked with them on Perfect Combination, and we haven't stopped working together since. I haven't been in everything, and I'm not going to be in everything, but if I find a budget for something that I've written and they're available, I'm going to go to them and have them, you know, right. See if they can shoot it for me, because they've been a blessing to me, so I like to be a blessing back.
That's a good marriage. That's a good marriage.
And so you're always the leading man on a lot of these plays, movies, and TV shows. Is there any leading lady in your life for real?
I'm single for now. Dating in L.A. is funny. It's a little difficult sometimes. So I'm open. You know, I do date occasionally, but it's tough out here because you'll find somebody that you like maybe, and then you mess around and stumble. I'm not big on checking my chick's Instagram and all of that, but you go on there a month or two after you meet somebody and you're dating, and then she's in her underwear every other day, you know, with her cake sitting on the counter. Mm-hmm. That's not the kind of, I'm grown.
Right.
You know, so I'm not looking for wifey. I'm looking for a wife. I don't want to waste any more time. So if I'm gonna start a relationship, I want it to be, I got a son already. I want another, you know, another kid or two. Somebody got to take this last name. I got stuff I want to do in my life.
Heard it, ladies.
Man. So, I mean, but what is the one thing that you, when you look at a female, what is that one thing they'd be like, okay, she making
ring? Yeah. Well, I feel like when she's, I love when a woman keeps herself together. She, you know, she's spiritual, got a sense of humor, because I'm an idiot, I'm silly. But when she's bad enough to where she could be doing all of that, all them sexy stuff, all that sexy pictures and all of that, but she doesn't have to.
Yeah.
She's secure enough. She doesn't need that validation. Matter of fact, if she wants any validation, it's from either him or you.
Right.
You know, as her man, you want that instead of, oh, well, she needs these 4,000 or 40,000 likes or whatever the case may be for this, you know, underwear shot. No, babe, you don't have to. You're breathtaking. You don't got to do all of that.
Yeah. Yes.
You got me already. So save all that for me at home. You know, if you got to do some of it in the art and it's artsy and that kind of thing. But if it's just, you know, for likes and for validation and for Insta fame. Miss me with it.
You just preach to a lot of Instagram models.
Let me validate you.
I know. I've just logged 6,000 followers.
I know. They are deleting pictures now. Christian, I don't have none of those pictures up.
I can't, man. I just can't. Personally, I'm not judging them. I just, for what I'm looking for, what I'm ready for in my life, I can't do that.
I agree.
And tell us about this this tattoo on your chest. That's like your logo. This is your brand. Why did you choose this tattoo?
I got that tattoo the day that I got my ring back from my ex-fiance years ago.
Wow.
I was hurting, and I took the ring back to
the jewelry store, and they gave me some in-store credit or whatever, gave me some cash back, and I was like, you know what? I want a tattoo. I want to. And at the time, I had a basketball on fire on my chest with my initials on it. And I realized that day that I didn't want to be a grown man with a basketball on fire with my initials on it on my chest. So I was like, let me go get a cover-up. And then when I was there, he's like, we don't have anything big enough. And I said, well, then I drew up a cross. I said, well, can you enlarge this to scale to where it would cover it? I said, because I can die a grown man, 70, 80, whatever, with that cross on my chest. Right. I'm fine with that. Just not the basketball on fire thing. And we dropped it on there. And it just, I'm grateful for it because it, you know, circumstance makes sometimes the best thing, and it end up being a logo right. out of nowhere.
It pretty much, I think, during the play when you came out, and she was just like,
"That is a cross."
That was, yeah, she was like, "That's
is that
cross?
A cross."
That was like the your tattoo was like the talk for that whole while that whole play was playing, man. I remember that.
So I'm definitely grateful for that. I'm not getting any more ink. I got enough in that one. I got four tattoos. I'm done. We're
done
with that. Yeah,
good right, man. Right. So it's 2015 right now. So what? You just came out as an author now.
Mm-hmm.
We got you as an author. What's next? 2015 has to be something. I feel like you're...
The Man in 3B is coming in February or March. Actually, we're screening it here in L.A. at the Pan-African Film Festival, I believe, February 16th or 17th, the closing night. The cast is bananas. Myself, Billy D. Williams, Lamon Rucker, Nafisa Williams, Jack A. Harry, D.B. Woodside, Kalita Smith. It's like 19 other people in that movie that you know their names and you know their work. It's based off the bestseller by Carl Weber, The Man in 3B, and it's a really good story. It's a murder mystery, and we don't do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like, urban film-wise, we don't, and I think we should branch off into every avenue of filmmaking, and I'm really excited about this one. I'm not a nice guy in this one, so.
Yeah, the thing is with that, I definitely like the fact that I agree greatly with Tyler Perry that you're consistent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every year you're doing something.
Thank you.
But as far as Christian Jr. right now, we have a picture of you and Christian, by the way. He was fairly new. Not that one. Come on, Alexis.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was a few months old. All of this is ponytail.
That is ponytail.
Oh, my God. My mother was Native American and French, and my pops was black, so like my hair grows like that. So it... Yeah, that was all. Before I cut it, it was down here.
But when I saw it, I was like, who is this Latino man?
I know.
Man, so Christian Jr. is 12 right now. What are your hopes for Christian right now?
Just that he ends up happy. I don't push him into acting. He may want to do something. He's done a couple movies with me.
Because I was going to ask you that. Like, what if he wants to get into the industry?
I'll let him as long as he's happy and as long as it's healthy. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to be one of those stage dads or weirdos that, you know, you're not doing it right. You're not crying. I'm not going into that. I want him to love whatever it is. If it's sports, he's brilliant at video games. I'll buy him. I just brought him the new Black Ops, and he beat it in a day.
What?
Like the next day he's like, oh, by the way, Dad, I beat that game yesterday. Can you pass the catch up? It's like, what?
How
you beat a game in a day?
Right.
Let me ask you, when I saw the picture of you and Christian, I wanted to ask you this. The first thing that popped in my head, as a single father, you mostly hear single mother.
Yeah.
As a single father, what is, if I'm watching you right now, listening to you right now, and I'm a single father, what can you say to help encourage me?
Just make the time. Ask open-ended questions because kids just love to ramble. Mm-hmm. So I've learned to I ask open-ended questions and let him talk until he's tired or out of breath. They just want to feel safe and know that you care, know that they matter. And, you know, that's what I try to do. I make sure to tell him. I tell him too much probably that I love him and that I miss him and I take care of him and that, you know, that he's important to me. And he'll tell me, you know, Dad, you say that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's older, he'll know. He'll be like, you know what? There wasn't a day went past that my dad didn't say, you know what, Boogie, I love you.
I think he knows that, man, because he sent you a test and said that you were his hero.
Dude, I'm glad I was alone.
Man.
I was like...
You had to hold
shut
that.
Shut
that
up,
got me right there. Oh,
that
garlic. Take the garlic out of there.
That got me. So... Yeah. He's the best thing in my life, biggest blessing ever.
There you go. So so that woman, ladies, that woman that's coming inside of Keys and Keys' life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got to take Christian and Christian Jr.
Amen. Amen. It's a package deal, baby.
Yeah.
So what can we, before we wrap it out, what can we, how can we find you on all social media?
Well, my real pages, all you catfish,
I know,
get
right?
on my nerves. I can't stand y'all. Instagram and Twitter are the same, at Christian Keys. Not Christian Keys Mobile, Christian Keys 1, 2, 3,
the Christian
four.
Keys, right.
Yeah, the real. None of them are real. They're all fake. It's at Christian Keys. That's my Instagram, at Christian Keys. That's my Twitter. My Facebook is Christian Keys Official Fan Page. Those are my official sites.
Thank you. And I just want to let everyone know on the air that Christian said I can have his tie. Since I have to
it
go
is
when
dope.
We leave.
Don't believe everything you hear on the internet. Do not believe you hear. You got the gold one.
Yeah, and I want the black one now. Because I've seen it in person now.
No, I bought it. Like, I don't even wear ties. I'll take it.
That's what's up, guys.
You would kill this.
I know, right? Exactly. Oh, Janet Jackson. The pants come all the way up here.
Yes. Cortez, where can we find you?
You can find me on all social media as well as Cortez G West. That's the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram, all of that. Cortez G West. And make sure you also follow us on BHL Online. We appreciate you. We don't really like to say followers, we like to say supporters, guys.
Yeah, family.
Much love. Family, yeah. Exactly.
Social media family.
Exactly. Yes. Megan, what can we find you, love?
And as always, you can find me, Megan Thomas, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Meg Scoop, like scoop of ice cream. And don't forget to post your comments because we love to shout you out if we can, okay? Post your comments. Of course. Love you. Until next week, y'all.
Thanks to our engineer, Alexis.
Thanks, Alexis. Happy 2015, everybody.
2015.
Producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.